Hey everyone, my co-host Lale and I are out traveling once again, but don't worry, we'll be back with new episodes very, very soon. This week, in the summer travel spirit, we're throwing it back to one of our favorite episodes from last summer, our ultimate guide to road trips. Joined by Mara Balogtas and Megan Sporel, we talked about all the do's and don'ts of the open road and the routes we love. Enjoy. Hey everyone, you're listening to Women Who Travel, a podcast from Condé Nast Traveler that digs deep into the realities of traveling as a woman today and celebrates why we'll never stay home. I'm Meredith Carey, and I'm joined once again by my co-host Lale Arakoglu.
Hello.
We missed you.
Thank you. Missed you all.
We're joined today by editors Megan Sporel and Mara Balogtas, and this week we're talking about road trips. And the way that Lale and I thought about this is kind of like a game of Would You Rather. So the very first question that I have for you all is, would you rather stop a lot?
Wait, but when you say why we're talking about road trips.
Oh my gosh.
Very important. Very arbitrary anniversary that I was very excited about when I went down an internet hole.
27th.
Anniversary.
Of Thelma and Louise.
Woo!
Dun, dun, dun!
Massive.
The most important anniversary of all anniversaries.
I mean, I do watch it yearly.
It's so good. How can you not?
So, 27, would you rather stop 27 times? Or would you rather go the distance? What do you think, Mara? Our resident roadie.
I think I would want to stop because that's the best way to kind of explore the area. It's like, why would you kind of want to drive straight shot from A to B? If you stop a lot, you can discover more places, find more gems. So definitely stop along the way for me.
I'm like a weirdo in that I like the driving part of road trips. And so gonna harp on my home state once again. But I loved driving for like 2 weeks through Texas because I could stop a lot. Mm-hmm. But we stopped maybe once or twice a day. And then we would drive for like 4 hours mm-hmm. uninterrupted because like the wide open spaces were
yeah.
real.
And I definitely think it's, you know, it varies on location. If right. you have the opportunity to drive for 4 hour distances at a time and then you can stop at some really great place, that's definitely an awesome way to do it. But, you know, to explore an area.
It also all depends on the scenery. When you're driving through like the desert in New Mexico, firstly, there's nowhere really to stop.
Yes. Yeah. Those historical markers though, Lale, they're a true treat.
But the whole point of it is to be taking in those like massive landscapes mm-hmm. while you're driving along. Also, disclaimer, I can't drive. So I'm quite happy just cruising for hours.
I mean, I also think even when you're driving through the desert and there's not that much to see and there aren't many places to stop, it's like the great conversations you get into with whoever's in the car mm-hmm. that only come from having been in nonstop mode for 3 hours and like actually getting into interesting things, or like the podcast you never have time to listen to, you know?
Totally. Do you guys ever listen to things when you drive? Because I listen to audiobooks, and it's the only time I ever in my entire life listen to audiobooks is when I'm doing a road trip.
I just listen to podcasts.
Yeah.
I listen to, actually, I really like listening to Here's the Thing with Alec Baldwin because it's the only time I ever listen to that. I only listen to podcasts when I'm on a long drive, and then I decide that because I'm not driving, I can control what we listen to. And I like to listen to lots of British podcasts.
So depending on what kind of car I'm driving on a road trip, either A, I won't listen to anything because I want to experience the car and the sounds of it, or B, I make specific Spotify playlists for every type of road trip I take. So a couple of years ago, my younger brother and I took a road trip up Highway 1 in California, and we did a California-themed playlist. So it was like Californication, you know, all of the OC theme songs.
I do that every time I go home.
Red Hot Chili Peppers, you know, yeah. very themed playlist for every type of road trip.
Also, we should mention that Mara actually knows a lot about cars, like in a real way.
I feel like we need to go back to the fact that you just mentioned you like to listen to the sound of the car.
Yes, yes.
Can you elaborate?
I mean, you know, it depends on what type of car you're driving. If you're driving, say, a Lamborghini Aventador on a long road trip, you might want to listen to the sounds the engine's making more than music from the stereo. So,
wait, so I'm really intrigued about how you ended up. I have so many questions.
So many questions.
How you went
to sidebar here?
Because driving is like a huge part of your life.
Yes.
Which a lot of our listeners, well, they may have read some of the pieces that you've written that are mm-hmm. on cntraveler.com, but maybe you could.
And also, your job title is
style editor.
Right. So I think off the bat, most people aren't like, yes, Mara has a like, oh my God, what is it called?
A manual transmission.
Mara has a manual transmission.
Meredith's over here moving her hand around like a different gear.
Can you just make a hand gesture that looked quite lewd?
But in fact, she was trying to imitate driving a stick shift.
I'm sorry.
Which Mara does.
I only
Don't worry,
drive
I got
automatic.
It.
There, thanks. Okay, so our style editor has a manual transmission tattoo. So she clearly knows what she's talking about because I can't even tell you what it's called. So yes, answer Lolly's question about how you got
how
into
it. How I got into it. I mean, I grew up with three brothers, so I've kind of always been this kind of like car and speed freak. You know, when you grow up, we're always playing like racing video games. And, you know, my younger brother is an automotive mechanic and he follows a lot of car racing that he got me into. And then I started doing autocross, which is kind of like technical time trial style driving. So, and then a lot of track days on the racetrack. So it kind of just snowballed into one another from this like within our family. And then luckily at Traveler, I was able to kind of cover more of those automotive and motorsports things.
And you plan quite a lot of your travel around driving, right?
I do. I mean, I travel for a lot of motorsports events, car races, motorcycle races. And, you know, there's a lot of iconic racetracks scattered all around the world, right outside major cities. So it's easy to visit a lot of those historical tracks when you're traveling to these different cities. I think everywhere you go, there's probably a racetrack within a 30-mile radius of where you are, which is great.
I love that. It just cracks me up. Okay, so overall, most people are go the distance. Mara is 50-50.
I'm 50-50. Okay. It depends. It all depends
how much you need to pee.
And I have a tiny bladder, so I have to stop a lot.
Okay, so this kind of goes back to something Lala was saying, was that it kind of depends on what kind of route you're taking. So this is kind of a insert your favorite road trip here, but would you rather do coastal route, mountain route, desert route, unnamed geographical feature route? Go.
Well, in July, I'm doing a road trip from LA to Big Sur and San Francisco, which is the coast. So while I haven't done it, that is my choice. And I am trying to figure out where we're going to stop and what we're going to do. So please, listeners, tweet or email me your suggestions. I'm very eager to find out what I should do.
Or share them in the group responding to this post.
Exactly. I feel like my dream is to say mountain route, but unless I'm sitting in the front seat because of winding roads, it's like not my best look to sit in the back seat of a mountain drive. But I really like driving like long distances. And I think that like the best way to see flyover states, and like granted, I've only done these road trips in the US, but like you will not realize how beautiful like Oklahoma and Iowa and Kansas are until you drive through them and you go into them thinking like this is going to be a bunch of cornfields or like what, I mean, whatever preconception you have after having flown over these states, that middle of the U.S. road trip, just like up and down in the middle is, I just think it's like, it's just beautiful in a way that you never thought it was going to be. And you are going to do the kind of thing that Mara was talking about where you're going to find things that you totally didn't plan for and never expected, and it just really surprises you.
So the trip that Lolly is doing up the coast of California, I did that last summer and it was incredible. I love coastal routes because there's nothing better than being able to stop and be right next to the ocean and be able to go get in the ocean, and I've done it and I highly recommend it. You're like, I'm so free, this is a movie, my life's a movie. You will feel that way. You should do it. Pack a bathing suit and a towel in the car. But it's also so fun to do mountain routes where you can like stop at little towns or like anywhere where there's, I like being able to stop and feel like it's a place that I would never stop otherwise, never see otherwise, like to your point, Meredith. And I think in other countries, it's been more about knowing that I'll pass through random little spots that'll give me glimpses of life that I wouldn't get, you know, doing a more popular route. So
I also think that like the United States and Canada in some part are kind of like perfectly designed for the road trip in that you know, if you're in Germany or in France, you know, you're going to hit a bunch of things back to back to back to back to back. Mm-hmm. Because like the size of the place that you're driving around is much smaller. In the US, like you can drive for hours and not run into anything. Or if you're like on the East Coast or the West Coast or in the South, you can do the same thing where you like hit a bunch of different towns and see all that life. And you kind of have the best of both worlds. Personal opinion dropped.
I cannot decide. I cannot pick one. I'm very torn because I've done all those types of driving and I can't pick one. They're all so great and they're all so different. So, I mean, it depends if you're driving in the desert. I went to Morocco last year and we drove through sand dunes and it was just like the most incredible experience ever. And then coastal driving around the tip of Cape Town is incredible. And then, I mean, I grew up in northern New Jersey and then driving into upstate New York and with all of the foliage in the fall time. It's like all of those things have their own special pieces in each of them. So I definitely cannot pick one.
Can you tell everyone? I know that that Morocco drive was not necessarily a road trip. It was a rally, but it was a super technical drive. Can you tell everybody? Because it was an all-female.
It's right up our alley here.
Yeah, we talked about this, you and I, last year, and got a story out of it, which is online and you can read it and it's totally crazy. But tell the people what they want to know.
Yeah, so last year I joined the Rally of the Gazelles and it's an all-women off-road rally throughout the desert in Morocco. And it's a few hundred women that go and they're teams of two and you can only use a map and compass to navigate your way. Everyone's phones are taken away at the beginning of the race and they don't give them back until the end, which is amazing. And yeah, pretty much for like 2 weeks, these women are totally badass and they're navigating through the desert with like the bare bones, camping out there, sleeping under the stars. And it's rough terrain out there. You're getting flat tires. Some vehicles had even flipped down sand dunes. Like, everyone has been okay. But, you know, I think if anyone has ever off-roaded in their life, they know kind of, like, the technical aspects of driving up sand dunes. And, you know, there is a risk there. But a lot of these women have never done off-roading before, which is great. And a lot of them that I talked to, they were nurses and school teachers and flight attendants. And they were like, this is something that I found out about years ago and that I've always wanted to do. And they were there doing it and they were just having the time of their life. It was an amazing experience.
So we had talked about this a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about road trips in general in the office. And one of our colleagues, Betsy, was like, oh my gosh, I wouldn't even like think to, you know, learn how to change a tire or like know that I need to go get my oil changed before a road trip. Mm-hmm. And I feel like you might be the best person to talk to this, but like, what are the things that you need to do to your car before you leave?
I mean, I think if you own a car personally, I feel like you kind of know the regular maintenance that needs to happen before a long drive. And it's definitely, you know, the key things are making sure you have an oil change, making sure, you know, you have new or good tires on your car, you know, learning how to change a tire just in case you get a flat or having AAA. Make sure your insurance and roadside assistance is on par just in case something happens out there. You know, I mean, it's a funny thing, but, you know, a lot of people don't know how to refill their windshield wiper fluid. But you open the hood, there's a little flap there and it says windshield wiper fluid and you just
it's labeled,
you buy it from the gas station and you just pour it in. It's as simple as that. It's probably one of the easiest things you could do. But you know, if you don't know how to personally do it, you know, make sure that you bring your car to a shop and make sure it's inspected and that all the bells and whistles are perfect before your drive. You know, it's the routine maintenance that, you know, you just need to be aware of if you're going to be taking a long drive.
I feel like the one mistake my family always made and still does is like wait too long to get our windshield wipers changed. So then you get like stuck in a rainstorm on a road trip
and
they're like not working.
Totally.
So that is my tip to everyone is if you think they're getting old, switch them out.
Exactly. And you know, it's not a hard thing to do.
Yeah.
And so simple things.
What was your favorite car you've ever driven?
Oh, wow.
You're going to say a name that
I was
going to
say,
well,
we have heard of the car.
This is a hard question. I mean, one of my recent favorites has been the McLaren 720S.
And what's that like? It's,
tell me. How does it sound?
It's a supercar. McLaren is a, I'm surprised you don't know, Lale. They're a British supercar manufacturer.
I can't drive.
I didn't know that. They're from your area.
Mini Coopers, like where it
Mini ends. Coopers, okay. See, I drive a Mini Cooper. So, I mean, the McLaren 720S, but I mean, the Rolls-Royce Dawn, it was the first convertible that Rolls-Royce has ever put out. Also a
my people
British manufacturer over there. Let's see, the Lamborghini Huracan. I could keep going, but there's so many favorites, it's hard to choose just one.
And I also feel like your car choice depends on the road trip.
Oh, absolutely.
Well. You know, you're not zipping around in your Mini Cooper everywhere.
No, and you're not driving a
Lamborghini
720S in the desert. You might want to be taking, say, a Land Rover.
Yeah.
You know, so
I would like to be taking a Land Rover.
It all depends. It's all situational. So choose your vehicle wisely for the terrain that you are going to be driving on.
Hi, I'm Lale Arakoglu, host of Women Who Travel. Each story from our guests and listeners is totally unique and utterly personal. We love hearing about your first impressions when visiting someplace new.
My first trip to the Patagonia region was on the Argentine side. I couldn't believe the expansive territory. It's like being in Tibet. The emptiness and the harshness really, I found transformative.
Or a story told when safely back on dry land.
You know, things happened every single day. I ran out of gas on a jet ski in the middle of the ocean. And I was like, what if a sea creature comes to eat me? But then I'm delusional. I was like, I'll make friends with it and it won't eat me. And maybe I'll ride that back to shore.
That's how it works.
Yeah.
Join me, Lale Arakoglu, every week for more adventures on Women Who Travel, wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Okay, I 100% know where Mara stands on this question. Oh. And I 100% know where Lale stands on this question. So you and I are the outliers, Megan. Would you rather be the driver or the passenger? Lale.
Well, I'm an aspiring driver. I keep meaning I'm going to get my license.
You can get your license. It's never too late.
No, I recently I went on the DMV site and it just made me feel so deeply depressed that I just closed the tab and
wait
never went
you
back
go to
home.
The DMV.
Yeah, you've never been there person. I think everyone has those general feelings about the DMV, unfortunately.
But every now and then, my father-in-law gives me a driving lesson at their house and I'm going there this weekend, so...
Who knows?
Yeah. Hope is not lost.
Norbert Mathias, legend, might give me another lesson.
We believe in you to get your driver's license.
What are your favorite parts about being a passenger?
You can sleep.
You're not supposed to sleep. You are the worst passenger
there. Driver, that's offensive.
No. I'm joking. I don't know. You don't have to do anything. It's brilliant. And you can shake pictures out the window. You're in control of the radio.
Hey, there's a lot of things that comes with being a good co-pilot.
And I do have to man the maps.
Yes.
Which, you know.
Are you like a Google Maps person? What are those? MapQuest? I feel young.
MapQuest.
but what are those? Yeah. I mean, like, or those... Oh my gosh! I'm sorry,
what, like
listeners.
Like an actual book,
like an atlas.
Yeah. At home, we called it the A to Z. I don't know what you called it here.
They have. Oh my god!
What,
there's a brand.
Nick Gregory.
You know
Gregory?
What, guys? This is
it's
a
like
low
the big
point.
Book that you throw in the back of your car that your parents always have, and
just in case of emergency.
And you have to go through the back pages to find the coordinates.
Rand McNally?
Oh, that's what it is. Rand McNally.
There we go. Oh,
there
okay.
you go.
You know what?
How much do those
cost? We just learned so many things.
I'll also hold the fast food for the driver, which I think
you have to feed the driver.
I was going to say, you have to feed the driver.
This, and by the way, road trips are the only time that it is okay to eat in the car, because otherwise I am like, no food in the car. No food in the car.
I will say that I love driving. purely because I am a terrible passenger. Like, I am the person, because I fall asleep in all forms of moving transportation without fail. I fall asleep before the airplane takes off. I fall asleep on the train. I fall asleep on boats. I can relate to that. Mm-hmm. So if I am not driving and paying attention and like using my brain, like I am out cold in the passenger seat, whether I want to be or not. So I try to always, I get this from my dad because he is always the one who drives, but I always try to be the one who drives, and I'm happy to do so because I know that despite my like expert navigation skills, I am quite a terrible passenger.
I will also say one duty of a passenger is to keep the driver awake on long drives.
Yeah.
Very good at chatting. So
I think it's very important that you can switch off, because I agree. Like, it's, and it's also fun to drive. I mean, I don't drive cool cars like Mara, but I don't know, you're kind of engaged, and I don't know, there's something, it just is kind of enjoyable to do. But if you drive the whole time, then you can't do the other fun stuff like pick the podcast and mess around and, you know, eat a few more fries than you feed the driver. But I think, like, my boyfriend doesn't know how to drive, and we did that California road trip together. And at the end of having driven the whole way, I was like, you need to get your driver's license.
Yeah, that might be how my trip ends.
It's tiring to drive the whole time.
It is. You need a balance, you know? Yeah. You need the freedom to be like, okay, now I'm napping.
Yeah. I mean, obviously I love to drive, and I'm definitely more of the driver than the passenger. But I think, you know, calling to what you had just talked about, Megan, is you need that kind of 50-50 balance, especially, you know, with a co-pilot. No offense, Lale, I know you.
But you have about a month to get your driver's license. Great.
You have time. I believe that you will get a driver's license eventually. So
I did declare I'd do it before I turned 30, and time is running out.
Well, you better get on it, girl. But no, my boyfriend and I, we both love to drive very much. So it's a good even split when we do go on road trips together, which is nice.
And then, you know, I know we talked about people, you know, getting their own cars together. But I think a lot of times when you fly somewhere, especially when you're going out of the U.S. or if you're flying to California, I mean, there aren't a lot of New Yorkers where we are who like drive to California to then do the Highway 1 trip. So when you're renting a car, is there anything specific you should be looking out for or need to know ahead of time?
It's important to make sure that, you know, God forbid anything happens, that you kind of understand what you're responsible for and all of that insurance jazz and stuff like that. Wherever you're renting from, just make sure that you are always having those types of conversations. And if you have any questions, to never hesitate to ask them. And, you know, checking the car in general to make sure that there is nothing there that
you could get charged for.
You could get charged for. And, you know, that if it was already, if there was damage already on the car, that, you know, it was not from you.
And I think that, you know, something that I didn't realize that I should have realized is that a lot of credit card companies, especially travel credit cards, offer auto insurance and rental car insurance specifically. So even if you are going to get it through your collision damage waiver, which is what the rental cars always try and sell you, you know, double check with your credit card company, double check with your personal auto insurance, which won't cover you. Your personal auto insurance won't cover you outside of the U.S., but check with your credit card company to see if that's something that they cover so that you don't have to spend all of your time reading the fine print. Mm-hmm. And you can actually get those things out of the way just by asking the question. And the other thing that I like wish I had known, because I had it like drilled into my head that you cannot rent a car until you're 25. And that is a lie.
It is a lie.
It is a lie.
It is a lie.
Let me just tell you that Zipcar will rent a car to you when you're 18.
Okay, because that's kind of not like your traditional rental car.
Hertz will rent you a car if you're 20.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is it just that you have to pay a lot more money?
You usually have to pay like $25 a day. And companies like Sixt, which is another, you know, normal, traditional, not a Zipcar, but a regular rental car company, has like $10 of daily fees. Mm-hmm. And if you have another driver who's over 25, you can always check and see if they can be the primary driver, because then they usually won't charge you as much. But they will rent you a car.
Yes.
It will just be slightly more expensive. I was just like always under the impression, naively, that I think it might have just been my parents drilling into me that I shouldn't rent a car until I was 25.
That's something people say when they like turn 25. They're like,
I can rent a car. Because it's like the only thing you get when you're 25.
I feel like it's Meredith, your dad, telling you that Disneyland, or like you couldn't go to Disneyland until you were 7 because he didn't want you to keep asking the whole time.
I knew someone whose parents told them that when the ice cream truck played music, it meant it would run out of ice cream.
That's hilarious.
That is so sad.
When I heard it, I was like, file this away.
That is so sad, but so good.
It definitely feels like it's one of those, for future, those dad lies.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
And then, you know, Megan was saying that, you know, Zipcar definitely isn't your traditional rental car service, but there are a ton. Zipcar, Get Around, you've talked about Turo before, that'll rent you a car, but it's someone else's car, right?
Yes. Yeah. It's kind of like an Airbnb for cars. I think the person who rents you the car will meet you and drop their personal car off, and you can have access to, you know, a whole different fleet of cars versus like your traditional like little Hertz rent cars that are tiny.
Your Camrys and your minivans?
Yes. Your little tiny, I like to call them noisy crickets. When you, if you've ever seen Men in Black, when they give him the little like tiny gun and they call it the noisy cricket. It's like the little, the tiniest car that you rent from Hertz. It's like the noisy cricket. But there's also part of Hagerty Insurance, which is a classic car insurer. They have this new program called, it's fairly new, called Drive Share, where you don't actually have to be someone who's insured by Hagerty, but you can access their fleet of classic cars all over the U.S., so, which is really cool because you could essentially take a Thelma and Louise road trip in a, I believe it's a 1966 Thunderbird. So you could do that trip.
Should we do that trip?
We might have to do that
we
trip.
We should do that trip.
Split it up. I think we need like some different hair colors. I think we can do it.
Change the ending a little bit.
Yes, let's definitely, no men
will be murdered.
Yes, exactly. And maybe we won't rob any banks, but we'll see.
Maybe, I don't know.
It's up in the air. We could decide that later.
This is a big one. And I kind of have already made my feelings known about this. But would you rather drive in the U.S. or take a road trip outside of the U.S.?
Depends on where I'm driving outside the U.S. No offense to Lala again, but I do not really like driving on the other side of the road.
I didn't make the decision.
it's confusing to me at times, which is really funny. So anywhere outside of the U.S. where you don't have to drive on the other side of the road is ideal for
me. I feel
me.
Like there are some surprising countries that actually drive on our side of the road, because I'm looking at a map right now and the amount of countries that drive on your side of the road, Lale, are actually really, really few. So like most of South America drives on the right side of the road. Most of Africa drives on the right side of the road. It's that southern part of Africa, India, Indonesia,
Cape
Japan,
Town, they drive on the other side of the road.
Australia and the UK. So like mostly with the exception of like some far Southeast Asian countries, like mostly former British colonies. But I think that, yeah, like, you know, it always surprises me. You know, I get so nervous. Mm-hmm. I love driving, but my biggest fear is taking a right into oncoming traffic.
It's just muscle memory. So when you're not used to doing it, you kind of like overthink it and you're like, like out of your comfort zone. So, I mean, it's totally normal to feel like uneasy about it. I definitely do when I have to drive on the other
side of
the road.
I also just like hate people honking at me. So I think it's more of like a performance thing than an actual fear. But yeah, I think that's why I would rather drive in the U.S. But granted, I would love to be a passenger on an international road trip. I just would rather drive in the U.S. because it's something that I know. Mm-hmm. And I also like going really fast. And in Texas, the speed limit's like 90 on the highway. So
is it actually, or
just like at least 80?
I was going to say, it's one of those things in California, it's 65. Everyone's like, so it's 90, right? It's like,
no, I mean, it's definitely at least 80 in some parts of rural Texas.
80 is like a guide, right? It's like,
well, you get 10
guidelines. Well, then you have like, yeah, that's a crazy speed limit. Sorry, but that sounds insane.
It's all flat and dry.
It's exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Right. You'll get some nice roadkill and then move on. How about you, Megan?
I guess I haven't been the driver on like a long road trip outside the country. I've been a passenger.
Where did you guys go?
I guess it's not like an individual car. It's like, what's a road trip? You know, I feel like I've done a lot.
What's
of,
a road
what
trip?
What is a road trip?
What does constitute a road trip? Like, how long do you need to be driving for it to be a road trip?
Or do you have to be in a car or a bus?
I feel like we should have answered that question very early.
Yeah, what is a road, like, I've done, like, 40-hour bus trips and stuff, like, in South America, and I feel like that felt like a road trip
to me. That feels like point A to point B. I feel like what we've been talking about this whole time, which is kind of like the crux of it being a road trip, is that you have the flexibility to stop as many times or as few times as you want on a bus. You're pretty much on
like
the schedule.
You have to be in charge of your own
journey.
Your own destiny.
I would say, okay, so the one time that I was at the wheel in another country was in Búzios in Brazil, and they gave me a manual car, and I don't drive manual. And the guy saw me doing it and let me go, and that made me decide. I kind of was like, so we're both cool, so you won't, like, you're not mad about this, so you obviously won't charge me? Great. But it was horrifying, and I was like, I don't know if I'm going to drive outside the country again.
It is truly, and Sebastian Modak, who is on our other podcast, Travelog a Lot, and is one of our coworkers, we talk about this a lot, that it is our, like, greatest shame that we don't know how to drive.
Seb says he has nightmares about it.
No, it truly, like, it is why I will never be on The Amazing Race. Like, that is it. Ooh. That is the only reason why I will never be chosen.
The only reason?
Yeah, I think so.
Because they always make you drive a stick car.
There is always a challenge.
Mara's like, I'm gonna do
it. Only give you a manual car. And it is, I'm like, unless I find someone to go with me, and like, I don't think I have a, I mean, Mara, I think you're pretty much like my only friend who drives manual.
See, this is the thing. You can get it to go. If it stalls, you just turn it off and you restart it. Like, it ruins a car, but not your car.
That's not
bad advice. Don't listen.
I would like to add that in the UK, you have to learn on a manual.
Yeah. I wish. I didn't have to
take
it.
And now I'm so prudent. I'll probably learn here and do it that lazy American way.
Lale, what road trip would you rather take, US or
international? Oh, I don't know. I mean, for me, a road trip in America is such a novelty still, so I'm kind of coming at it from a different angle. You know, I have done lots of long drives in Scotland and a little bit in Europe, but for me, like, there's something very enchanting about doing it in America, and I think that's the same for a lot of Brits. I didn't have a lot of friends that have come and done trips here, you know, through the South or along California. So it's definitely something that people come to the US to travel for specifically. So for me, it is the US at the moment, but that's because it feels more foreign to me, more exciting.
Can we just go around really fast and say, Mara, you're going to have a real hard time with this. Favorite road trip, period, that you have ever taken, full stop. Noodle it over for a second.
I have a favorite road trip thus far.
Oh my gosh, that was so much easier than I thought it was going to be.
I have two. So one of them was I did a road trip in South Africa, and we pretty much did a whole day of driving, you know, along the coast of Cape Town. And that was an amazing trip just because you're coming in and out of the mountains. You're changing a lot of elevation. It's so cool to see the mountain ranges in contrast to, like, the coastline. And it's the most magnificent drive. And then another one that I had done was from Italy to England.
Ooh.
Yeah, and it was, like, a week-long road trip. We ended up at the Goodwood Festival of Speed. So it was a road trip to see more cars, which was amazing. But, yeah, it was cool driving from, you know, Italy to kind of Switzerland and France and England. And I think that's what's so great about Europe, is because you can drive for a week and, you know, you can hit four countries, which is really cool.
It wasn't a very long road trip. It was driving throughout a day, but through New Mexico. I mean, it looks like Mars there. It's just incredible. I love it. So definitely that.
Okay. I have two as well. The coast of California is, I know that everyone knows it's a great road trip, but it just really is. And I think it's one of those that you can do multiple times and feel like you're finding new things, or you're able to feel familiar with a tiny town on a cliff somewhere. But I love if you go north from San Francisco and you go towards Oregon and you go up to the Redwoods. And I think, to me, I feel like when I did that route, rather than going south, home to LA, where I'm from, there are these dramatic Redwoods that go all the way up to the ocean and then this wild sea. And it just feels so, it's so intense. I think it's probably similar to the Oregon coast, where I haven't been, but it's so incredible. And you don't see other people, and you go through really small, sleepy towns. And that makes it feel like the secret that you found, even though it's definitely not. And I think so many people don't go north from San Francisco. So that's a favorite. And then this is a little different, but you know, if you, okay, we're not counting a bus as a road trip, but in Peru, they have these little vans called combis, and they're like, they are a normal, like kind of a normal van, but you just have more people in it. And from Lima, you can go for a day to the like highlands and see highland culture like you would see in Cusco or somewhere. And you can take these little buses, like you take maybe like four different ones to get there. But it's really cool because you are stopping in these tiny little towns and seeing markets. And I thought that was so amazing that like without having to drive on scary cliff roads, I could see somewhere so different, like a couple hours outside that city.
My two also, because I'm cheating.
we all are.
So my first one is my favorite road trip ever as a passenger. And it was kind of the opposite of the first road trip that you were talking about, Megan, which is when I was a kid, my parents took my brother and I from Portland south to San Francisco and did Portland as a city and then did, you know, all the national parks that you get going down through there that are mostly redwoods, did Mount Hood, did, I mean, just kind of like hit in a zigzaggy pattern, all of these amazing features of nature that are so different from one another. And that was really special. And also, like, some of my fondest memories are fighting over which, you know, who got the back row of the Suburban with my brother. And so I think that's really, in my mind, like a really special time. And then my favorite as a driver was that Texas road trip my best friend and I took, just the two of us, and did a full circle around the state of Texas. And we took 2 weeks and stopped in like six major cities, spent 3 days in each one. And before I moved to New York, it was just, again, like a really awesome way to see somewhere that I knew, but in a totally different way. And I want to do it like again and again and again, because like you were saying, you know, you see something different every time.
Well, and I think with road trips, the point you're making is when you're at kind of a turning point in life and you have an extended period of time and you feel like you can do a 2 week road trip or something, and it doesn't feel like, oh, but I could go so much further with that time. Like, I feel like I've also done, like, when I'm moving and you kind of have a break or between jobs or something where you're able to, like, do a slow road trip, and something is so special about that. And you, like, have the time in the car to really reflect. And I feel like those are so impactful. Like, I, whenever someone is, has a month before they move somewhere, I'm like, go on a road trip. You have to go on a road trip. You know, I think it's such a sentimental value there.
I have a question for everyone. Very important. What is your favorite junk food place to stop at?
Yes! Yes, yes, yes.
I have two things that I always get. A Route 44, which is 44 ounces.
What?
Of Dr. Pepper at Sonic and mozzarella sticks.
That's obscene.
It's that larger than your face. It is so bad if you, like Mara and like me, have to pee all the time.
I was
going
to say, you would have to stop for the rest.
But you only have to get one drink for your entire day's worth of driving. But yes, mozzarella sticks, Route 44 Dr. Pepper.
Wait, where's this Route 44 Dr. Pepper from?
Sonic.
It's from Sonic.
Sonic okay. Drive-In.
All right.
The ultimate.
You said, I'm sorry.
Drive-in.
Okay, well, I think it obviously depends where you are, but California, In-N-Out, you can have it for three meals a day. Yes, you can. It's totally fine. No one will judge you. You will feel fine after. I mean,
that's
you
not,
won't.
That's not true.
You won't, but whatever. You'll convince yourself you feel fine. It's funny. We actually put this question up in the group before, or like we asked about questions for road trips in our Women Who Travel Facebook group before this, and I made a joke about Taco Bell because I think a Crunchwrap Supreme is the key to life. And Sharon actually was saying, you know, try to avoid chain restaurants. And she actually brought up a great tip of like looking at reviews wherever you are. And I will say, on the drive from Los Angeles to San Francisco, if you take the 5, this is very specific, but shout out to this restaurant. Kettleman City is where everyone stops at In-N-Out. And once we were like, we're not doing it. We're going to go somewhere else. We looked at on TripAdvisor and there was a taco stand inland about 3 minutes that had thousands of 5-star reviews. You should go there. It's amazing. There is another option, In-N-Out, even though you could probably just get both.
There's actually, I feel like, Megan, you might know it. There is a fish taco place in Malibu on the side of the Pacific Highway that I can never remember the name of.
I was going to say, there are a couple.
It's red and it has a little parking lot with some tables and chairs that you can sit on. And it's so, I love it. I go every time I go to LA. It's so great.
My mouth is watering.
Yeah, it's a really wonderful place. And then also Wendy's for the spicy chicken sandwich.
And the Frosties.
And the Frosties.
Oh, man. Gotta get that little keychain. Gets you a little mini Frosty every time.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know. That's a little tip there. I did not know that.
Okay, wait. Going back to Lolly's question, is it Malibu Seafood Fresh Fish Market?
Do you have a picture?
Well, there's a lot of red.
Yes, I think it is that.
Okay, yeah. That's like the one spot that everyone loves. I think and so, talks yeah. about. I feel like when you're in LA too, there are so many beautiful beaches you can go to in Malibu, like for the day. And that's the spot where everyone's like, come back after your sunburn, you're covered in sand and get a fish taco. Good choice.
What's your, I mean, I know that you don't like eating in the car, but what's your favorite?
I don't, but okay. So whenever I'm in Europe and I'm driving, the gas stations there are really great and they actually serve pretty good food at the gas station.
As opposed to a lot of American gas stations.
Yes, so they're actually quite nice and have the food quality is very good in Europe.
In contrast, I just want to add that I went to a gas station off the, like somewhere off I-95, and there was a sign that said to please wear shoes and a shirt when you walked in.
That's not weird though.
That yes, happens. People need to be reminded
everywhere.
Yes.
Yeah. Everywhere. Especially on a road trip. Gets hot in the car, you know, people do what they do.
Gotta take those shoes off.
Oh my
god. You're not on a plane though, so really in the scheme of things, it's better for you to take your shoes off in the car than it is on a plane.
Yes, but don't forget to put them back on before you go into the gas station to use the bathroom.
Also your poor feet. Yes. That floor.
But go to snacks or food, I think. 7-Eleven Slurpees.
Yes.
And barbecue Frito Twists.
What?
Come on, you guys. If you haven't had them, you have to try them because they're a go-to.
Okay, if we're talking chips, obviously Ruffles, sour cream and cheddar every time. Full bag.
I feel like Megan has a lot of thoughts.
I mean, I can keep going. Should I?
If you would like to personally request her ranking of best road trip food, feel free to tweet her because I'm sure she has it like written away already.
She's got a Google Doc somewhere. Yeah. She could just share
it. It's all stored up here.
Awesome. Well, Lale, where can people find you to follow your California road trip?
You can find me at Lale Hannah on Instagram.
And Mara?
You can find me at Mara Fili, MaraFili, on Instagram and Twitter.
You can find me at Spirelli, SpurrelLy.
I'm at Oh Hey There Mara. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. You can read all about Mara's trip and a bunch of other road trips that we've taken on cntraveler.com. And you can find us on the internet at cntraveler or at Condé Nast Traveler on like all the social medias. See y'all next week.
Hi, I'm Lale Arakoglu, host of Women Who Travel. Each story from our guests and listeners is totally unique and utterly personal. We love hearing about your first impressions when visiting someplace new.
My first trip to the Patagonia region was on the Argentine side. I couldn't believe the expansive territory. It's like being in Tibet. The emptiness and the harshness really, I found transformative.
Or a story told when safely back on dry land.
You know, things happened every single day. I ran out of gas on a jet ski in the middle of the ocean. And I was like, what if a sea creature comes to eat me? But then I'm delusional. I was like, I'll make friends with it and it won't eat me. And maybe I'll ride that back to shore.
That's how it works.
Yeah.
Join me, Lale Arakoglu, every week for more adventures on Women Who Travel, wherever you listen to your podcasts.